have a thesis, clearly state it in the beginning. This is the purpose of this meeting, of this presentation, of this keynote, is guiding you to X, Y, and Z. And typically it should be connected to the title that you gave to that talk, right?
What's up, ladies? Welcome to the Women Who Lead Summit. It has been such an amazing experience. And today I am so honored to introduce you to this extraordinary speaker, coach, storyteller. This is Marta Spurk. And Marta is a professional singer. She's a TEDx speaker, best-selling author, and speaking coach, especially for those who want to really establish this in their business, right? To transform their message into a powerful signature talk. Now, I know you guys know how important it is to show up, and especially with storytelling, that is a gift, right? So through her expert blend of storytelling techniques and strategic coaching, Marta empowers her clients to inspire audiences, amplify their impact, and unlock new income streams through speaking engagements. That's what I'm doing this year. I have told Marta this. I am going to be a speaker this year. Hell or high water, I'm doing it, right? So whether through her coaching programs, keynotes, podcasts, or award-winning book, The Empowered Woman, The Ultimate Roadmap to Business Success. Yeah, y'all heard that. Y'all better pick that up. Marta has helped countless entrepreneurs leverage the power of speaking to grow their businesses. Now today, Marta will share with you her expertise on speak to scale, using speaking as a powerful marketing tool to grow your business. Now, she'll walk us through how to use this speaking as a strategic marketing tool, because it really is. And it's something that I want to do this year, is to leverage the stages and get on there. So get ready, y'all. Get your pen, get your pad, because we're going to take some notes, okay? Please join me in welcoming this amazing woman, Marta Spurk. Marta, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks so much for having me.
I'm so glad you're here. Okay. So I fell in love with you the first time we met, and then you were like, okay, I'll do it. I'm like, yes. So here you are. So glad to have you. I know that, you know, this is like the thing, right? Speaking is a huge advantage in your business. And I'm noticing it more and more where people are talking about how you can sell from the stage, how you can present from the stage. Storytelling from the stage. That's so huge. Yeah. I remember going to an event once and the guy was so boring that I found myself along with all the other participants looking at our phones. Mm. Right. And I said, that's what I don't want to do. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want to be that guy. I felt bad for him, but it's at the same time, like, this is a skill, Marta. This is a skill, right? And so I wanted you to start us by saying, like, why, you know, for the women who are here and like, I don't know if I could speak on stage, why is speaking such a powerful marketing tool for business owners? Like, how is it that they can use this to scale their business?
Well, first and foremost, thank you for saying that it is a skill, meaning there's hope. We can get better at it. We just need to keep doing it. It's like another muscle that you need to exercise. Speaking in front of an audience, no matter how big it is something you get to practice and you get better at it. We have to do it. You can't just, you know, practice in your mind. But why is speaking such a powerful tool? Well, you hear it all over the place, I mean, probably from your business coaches. You need to establish yourself as an authority, right? And how do you do that? You create a website, you create social media accounts, you start posting on there. Well, guess what you do when you stand up in front of an audience? You are instantly elevated as an authority and a credible authority, because why would somebody put you in that position if they didn't trust you, right? And why would you go through the trouble? Because the majority of people are scared. There are statistics out there that say that second to death or something crazy, the biggest fear is of public speaking. So it's something very daunting for the majority of humans out there. So when you decide to separate yourself, and you know, business is all about how are you different, right, from somebody else that's doing the same thing. Well, if you're courage enough to stand up in front of an audience, you are separating yourself, right? You are making yourself different. And then there is the trust piece. So when you open your mouth and you start sharing stories, we talked about storytelling, and you especially let people know that you weren't born where you are today. That's what's so encouraging about hearing a speaker, and especially when they decide to be vulnerable and share their beginnings, right? Or how things weren't as they are today. I always like to say, I didn't come out the womb. speaking the way that I do and knowing the things that I do. And none of us have, right? And back to the skill piece, it's something you get to learn. And for me, especially, English is not my first language. I'm originally from Brazil, like born and raised in Brazil. And so this goes to show that there is hope for anyone. It's just a matter of really understanding the power of this tool and then being confident in yourself. And you're not just going to wake up one day, I'm so confident, I'm going to go speak. You're going to have to force yourself, which is the same thing that we did to start our business, right? To continue our business. It takes that daily trust in yourself. And here's the thing. The more you trust yourself to put yourself in that vulnerable position, the more people will trust you because, again, you're prominent and they're like, wow, I want to reach out. And I mean, talk about separating yourself in a networking environment, for example. You can attend as many meetings as you want, but when you're a speaker in one of those meetings, guess what? People see you differently. And you get to touch more people than if you were just an attendee. Right? Because as an attendee, you connect with 1, 2, 3 people, 5 tops in a networking meeting, for example. If you're the speaker that day, everybody gets to hear from you and then connect with you afterwards. And talk about follow-up. There's a point of connection. Hey, I was in the meeting where I was the speaker. Thank you for being there. Right? So, I mean, the possibilities are endless. I could go on.
That's so good. No, that's really, really good, right? Because, when I was asked to be a speaker at this big event, Madeline Albright was there, right? And she was the guest keynote speaker, and I was the special guest speaker right after her, right? And you're right. When you do that, you do get elevated, and you don't even realize that you do, but you do. But even I do that. Like if I see a big speaker, I want to know them. Like I want to go and get their book and check them out. So it is true. And I love that you said that because I think people need to understand the power of it, the power of being a really good speaker. And there's elements to this, right? So there's ways of actually structuring your talk so that you can show up, right? So I wanted you to guide us through that a little bit, if you don't mind, like, because, you know, you talked about how speakers, because I'm taking notes, girl, I'm taking notes, how speaker, you know, how becoming a speaker really does elevate your authority. And I couldn't agree with that more. And then it has how it separates you, but also drives that bit of trust, right? And we all know now the way people are shopping is they have to know, like, and trust you. This is a true thing. They have to know you. They have to be able to find you somewhere. They have to be able to trust you and know that you're a real person and not like BSing them, right? Yeah,
totally.
So I was wanting you to take us through the key elements of a powerful signature talk, like something we can start mapping out, putting together, right? That will start to captivate the audience so that we can really start to use this to drive growth in our business. Because yes, elements are important and we really need to know that.
Yes. Anyone can, I mean, not anyone, but with preparation, I should say, you could stand up and talk, right? But when you have a structure, when you have a specific game plan of where you start, where you take them, where it ends, where they go from there, it makes it even better. So the very first thing is start with a story. I tell my speaker clients all of the time, it's fine if you get up and you're nervous and you end up saying, thanks so much for having me. My name is Marta Spurk and wow, it's a little chilly out there. You're going to get nervous. You're going to forget the game plan. It's okay. And it happens to all of us. However, the more you do it, and here comes the skill piece, right? The more you practice starting with a story for so many reasons. One of them, it's a pattern interrupt. People are expecting you to start by saying, hi, thank you so much for having me. When you don't start that way, they're forced to pay attention. And you were talking about a speaker that was so boring and people were on their phones. That's exactly what you want to avoid. And the way to avoid that is to captivate them with a story. Because isn't that what happens when you start reading a book? When you start watching a movie, you have no idea who the characters are, where they are, what's happening. So you're forced to pay attention at least for the first 5 minutes and then decide if you're interested or not, but you are forced, right? So that's what I recommend. Start with the story. And here's another tip. Start from the middle of the story. So there's layers to this, right? There's layers of complexity to this, but start with the story. If you want to say 999, whatever, that's okay. Or if you want to say, there I was sitting in that cold, hard floor. People's brains can't help but take them there. They start imagining it, right? Even if they don't know exactly what the floor looks like, whatever it was, it's such an amazing tool to get people to pay attention to you and to what you're saying. So start with a story, and preferably a story that has to do with the main point of the talk, right? So if your talk's talking about challenges, then pick one of the biggest challenges in your life. And so that's what I do. I was just telling a client, you're going to create this arsenal of several different stories, depending on where your talk is going to take you. You pick the stories that have to do with that topic. So whenever I'm talking about big life challenges, I talk about when I discovered I was having triplets. Talk about, you know, a shocker. You hear the audience gasp if you set up the story correctly, right? Or I talk about being an immigrant, moving, leaving everything behind. All of us have those kinds of stories. You just have to find them. So then after you tell that story, you tie it in with your main point. So I have two degrees in English. I worked at the Writing Center at my university, alma mater, in the University of Colorado Denver. And I learned quite a bit about argumentative essays. And I really encourage you to start looking at your signature talk like an argumentative essay. So you have to have an intro and you have to have a thesis. So what is the main point? Where are you taking these people? And you'd be surprised. There are many people that start a talk and they have no idea where they're taking that audience. And that is such a waste of the opportunity of being in front of people. So what is the thesis? In the next several minutes, I am going to share with you three steps to X, Y, and Z, right? So I always say what I teach is very meta because this is what I'm doing right now. I say in the next several minutes, I'm going to share with you how to build a powerful signature talk. First thing, start with a story. Second thing, right? So you get to guide your audience. And especially since it's not a written text, it's the spoken word, it's so much easier for me to follow along if you give me the structure of a text, right? Because even reading sometimes, how many times when you're reading a book and then you get distracted and you're like, I have no idea what I just read and it's been three pages and you have to go back. Imagine somebody sitting in the audience and there's nothing for them to grab a hold of, which I could have a whole separate conversation about slides and how I think there should be very minimal text in slides because you want people to be paying attention to what you're saying. Anyways, have a thesis, clearly state it in the beginning. This is the purpose of this meeting, of this presentation, of this keynote, is guiding you to X, Y, and Z. And typically it should be connected to the title that you gave to that talk, right? And then you go and you break it down. So if I told you I'm going to share three steps to creating a powerful signature talk, let's begin with step number one. People love that. You may think it's too literal and yet you have to make it flowery and crazy. No, please don't do that. It's really hard to follow. And please don't say, I'm going to give you 32 tips to create the best signature talk. That's when people are going to start pulling their phones out and falling asleep. Okay. Three tips, five tops, right? Because it's really hard to follow through, again, because it's the spoken word. So start with your first point and make sure you have a game plan for each of your points where you're going to share a definition of that point, some stories to really illustrate and back it up. And here for my entrepreneur friends is when I say, bring in some client testimonials, right? So if the first point in my talk, very meta here, teaching about signature talks is storytelling, I can say, like one of my clients. I'll give you an example right now. When I told her, think about a story that really ties in with your thesis, and she said, oh, I know, I remember it vividly. That's the best story for you to pick, is the one where you remember it vividly, because that's how descriptive you're going to get, and that's how you're going to engage people. So she is an esthetician. She's a doctor, and she struggled with her self-image and with her weight for a long time, and she said, I remember being 16. I was looking at myself in the mirror, brushing my teeth, and I thought to myself, how many calories? I wonder how many calories there are in this toothpaste. So talk about a powerful way to start a talk and engage people, right? So you start, and then, so here I am describing my first point. So describe that point, and preferably with a client example, because it adds to your credibility. And then give them an activity. So this is where you can be creative. If you're doing workshop style, you can give people a task or an exercise. Let's do this together. What is a story that you could start your signature talk with? And I could either give them some time and move on, or I could say, show of hands, do you have something, right? Depending on how much time you have, you can add more pieces to this. And this is what I love about the structure of the signature talk that I teach, is that it's kind of like a train. Depending on how much time you have, you can shorten it, take some cars out, or you can put some cars in, add some more detail to the story, right? Or You can use up some of your time by asking the audience to share. And sometimes people will share for a while and you're going to have to rein them back in. But these are all strategies to lengthen your time if you have more time or not. So have a game plan for each of your points. Make sure you wrap it up for each of the points, right? So this is point number one, okay? Now let's talk about the second thing that you need. Be very literal like that, because people need to follow, and especially for the note takers, that's just how many times were you taking notes in a presentation and you missed the point because they rushed through it, or there were 32 points. How the heck are you going to keep track of all of that, right? So that's why I say keep it simple, 3 to 5, and reiterate them many times. Think about it like a filing cabinet. If all of the drawers are all open at the same time, you can't see what's inside. So when you open one, you close it before you open the next one. Do that, please, for the sanity of your audience and your own sanity, and also to have a greater impact. And then have a conclusion. And usually the best conclusion is the conclusion that closes the loop and brings back the story from the beginning. And this is what I do in my TED Talk, and I encourage my clients to do with their talks, is I say, while you may never see 3 circles on an ultrasound screen like I did, I can guarantee you that if you find, really look hard enough, you will find opportunities to forgive, to empower, and to transform yourself, which were my 3 points in my talk. So I do this with everything, and it just works really well because, again, it's a logical sequence and it's easy for people to follow.
Okay, so you know I have to like ask about the triplets, right?
Sure.
Because you have my brain going the minute you said that. I'm like, wait, did she really have triplets? Did you really have triplets? And you're good? You okay?
Yes, I did. I'm hanging in there. Every day is a new challenge. I mean, I don't know anything different because it was my one and done situation.
Yeah, but, I think so.
Gosh, it's a challenge. I think, I mean, obviously it was very, very scary.
Yes.
Throughout the pregnancy, because there were so many, you know, safety concerns. It's a risk pregnancy, all kinds of stuff. And then when they were babies, so fragile, being premature, all of that stuff. And we're kind of, you know, out of the woods in that department, but now we have the emotions and the personalities. So, you know, it gets.
How old are they now?
They're 9. They just turned 9.
Oh, 9. Wow. That is all you know at this point, right?
Yes.
Yeah. All I know. That is so freaking cool. And I love that you did that, right? Because you were also showing us examples of what that is. Like when you threw that in there, I was like, whoa, okay. I see what she means about, you know, grabbing the attention, right? Just like this is what's happening. When I did a talk once, I had to do like this talk in college, and I started with walking up to the stage with a gun in my hand. Right. Like, well, not a real gun, but like this. Right. And then I went to somebody and I went like that. And they were like, and it's because I had a gun put to my head when I was, you know, I was almost murdered by a domestic violent partner that I had. And so this talk I was talking about was about domestic violence. And so I started it by walking up and just doing that. They were like, they paid attention the entire story. So yeah, I see what you're saying, because that's super important. And you know, I love that you gave us the structures, right? The interest, the thesis. Where are we going? Where are you taking the audience? You know, what's your game plan, right? You know, the points should never be more than 3 to 5, not 32. I started laughing when you said that. You know, client testimonials, add that in there. That's so important. And then giving them something to do, right? Like giving them the task. So good. So freaking good. And I love the tip you gave us about being literal. I couldn't agree with that more, especially, I mean, not just in talks, in social media, in your videos, in your presentation, about your business. Too many of us try to make it so elaborate. Right. But the truth is if you speak to somebody like a second grade or a first grade level, it hits better, you know? Yes. So I love that was brilliant, Marta. Thank you so much for that. Brilliant. Oh my gosh. Okay. So here's what I'm thinking too, right? Because this is something, this is kind of where I'm at too, because this year I said I want to hit more stages, right? Either virtual, real. I've been doing podcasts, you know, all that kind of stuff. I want to hit at least 50, 60 stages this year, right? So whether virtual or real, doesn't matter. But I want you to like help these women understand how to even get there, right? So like strategies that maybe you recommend for us as business owners looking to land our first one or our next speaking engagement, right? Because like you said in the beginning, practice is going to help us. Absolutely. Right? So what kind of strategies or ideas do you have that we can maybe get started?
Yeah, of course. Well, the first thing is create a talk. And it's not going to be perfect. It's ever evolving. That's one of the things that I've heard from top speakers is when do you start working again on your signature talk or on your speaker reel tomorrow? Like there's always something that you can tweak and make it better, especially if you're doing it a lot, you're going to get more feedback, right? But create the structure. I gave you an outline right now, right? You could start creating this right now. And with the amazingness of ChatGPT, it'll help you with ideas for titles, right? Ideas for the names of the steps, whatever it may be. Don't get stuck on the trivial things. And just create this outline because that will make it easier for you to pitch yourself. Now, where to pitch yourself? Start with the low-hanging fruit. This is what I tell clients all of the time. You may think that you need to start sending pitches to conferences in Europe to get on stages. And I will tell you right now, if you put up a social media post or in the next networking meeting that you're in, say, this is what I want to do. People will start thinking about you that way. And referrals and opportunities are going to come up. In fact, I'm here talking with you here today, Nina, because a friend of mine was invited to speak and she was like, oh, would you like to speak there? Because she knows I want speaking opportunities and this is what I do for a living, right? So people will start seeing you that way. But if you don't voice that, you can't just expect the universe to align the stars and give you opportunities. Now, sometimes that will happen. Whenever people come to me saying, I want more opportunities, I've gotten invited by a couple, I'm like, that's amazing, because typically that's not what happens. You start seeking opportunities and they come to you. Now, if you're already getting invited, that's an amazing sign that people are already seeing you as that authority, which means if you really take the and be proactive and take the step to say, now I want to do this, even more doors are going to be opening up for you. So it's as simple as saying, I'm looking for opportunities to speak, whether it be podcast interview, being on a panel, being on a virtual summit. If you know of any opportunities, let me know. People will let you know. I can promise you that. Now, in the meantime, also start searching, right? And oftentimes, again, and I say it's because of the reticular activating system. Whenever you start trying to have a baby, everyone around you is pregnant, right? Whenever you want a red car, all the cars are red. Same thing will happen with speaking. You know, you're going to start seeing posts on social media that you weren't paying attention to before saying, call for speakers. And usually you just scroll right past. Now, because you have a talk though, because there are so many people that don't even consider applying. And that's the other thing. I guide clients to apply for TEDx. And many times people will say, oh, it's such a dream of mine. And then I ask, have you applied? And they say, no. And I'm floored. Well, if it's a dream of yours, I would expect you to at least have applied once. But here's the other piece. We are afraid of rejection. So that's why we don't take that step. It's like dating, right? Why would I ask somebody out if they're going to say no? I might as well just live in the dream of my mind, but then never realize the dream. So it's as easy as taking the steps, because especially for entrepreneurs, there are so many speaking opportunities. I mean, talk about networking groups. Typically, they have a trainer in every meeting or every other meeting. So you can literally go up to the leader of that meeting, the director, whatever, and say, how do you select speakers, right? You have to ask, or go investigate on the website, send somebody an email. That's how it starts.
Sorry, I was writing a bunch of notes. I was writing too many notes. Okay. All right. I really like that. Okay. So you convicted me, right? Because I've been wanting to be on a TEDx stage for years and never applied, never, ever have applied. Girl. Yeah. And I never have applied because of this, what you're talking about. Like, I wouldn't even know what to talk about. Where do I start? How do I do the messaging? Like, I get in my head, this is the higher achiever, perfectionist mentality bullshit that I'm always trying to get rid of, you know? Mm-hmm. But I've never applied. And when you said that, I was back here going, ooh, ooh, ooh. Marta just, you know, backslap me over here. Okay. Mm-hmm. But I love that you said, how about just start creating that talk? How about just start creating the talk, right? And I'm like, yeah, how about that? How about just start creating the talk, Nina? Because I've spoken in different, like I said, they've even invited me to Dominican Republic where I went and spoke to women there and all that kind of stuff. It was great. But I never thought of it being like speaking. It was almost like I'm going to go tell my story. So I went to go and encourage them and give them upliftment and all that kind of stuff. But you're making me rethink this. And then you talked about, you know, every day working on that, right? Working on your speaker reel, working on your structure. I thank you also for the tip of the GPT, because it's true. You can go on there and say, hey, I want to talk about this, but I need titles. I will say though, ladies, that don't have it write it all out for you, because you're going to sound like freaking ChatGPT. Right? You agree with that, right, Marta?
Yes, no, totally. Yeah. And I also believe you should keep scripting to the minimum. I know some people really cling to that, and that's okay to get started, right? Do whatever you need to get started. Just get started, okay?
Yeah.
But then you really want to rely on the blocks and your memory and your slides so that you don't get in sticky situations where technology fails you or you get stuck, right? So, yeah.
Yeah. 100%. Do you recommend slides for all your talks?
Whenever possible, but I have a very particular philosophy on slides. It's very minimal text. I think I may have mentioned that already. And images. Images, especially if you have actual images of what you are sharing. Like I have a picture of the ultrasound picture of the three circles. And I put that in my presentation and other things that you could add. Because when you introduce it, you say it, and then you switch the slide and there it is. People are like, wow, that's so cool. My brain was kind of imagining, but now I see what it actually was like.
Oh, I see. That's good.
I think that is powerful. And that is a way to help you keep track of where you are in the presentation as well. So instead of, obviously a clock is very helpful, but instead of having a script or notes, because how hard is it for you to look at notes and read and then talk, as opposed to I see a picture, I know where I'm going. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah, that's brilliant. Yeah, that is so brilliant. Because you're right. Like I believe in the minimal writings, because it annoys me to no end when somebody's reading every line off the slide. Oh my God. I'm like, well, exactly. I'm like, just send me the damn slides. But that's just me with my ADHD, and I got to move on. Like, this is too much. Right? That is so funny. Okay. So now that we have like, we have some structure here, we got some structure going on. We're looking at how to even start this thing by creating, you know, our talk and all those things. So how are we going to leverage now that speaking engagement to build our brand, but also to generate income, right? Because I know you have to start somewhere. And I did a big talk in the public library once, because I have my autobiography. So I was able to do that with slides and pictures. And I'm not saying I'm a pro at all. I have not been on, the biggest stage I've been on was like 800 people, right? So it was great. That was the one with Madeleine Albright. So that was really fantastic. But I didn't monetize that. I didn't have money come to me for that. So I'm just wondering how we can use this, right, to start leveraging our business. Yes, you've already kind of touched on how we can do that, but how do we monetize this, or how do we make this part of our business structure? Does that make sense? Yeah,
totally. 100%. Yeah. Well, first things first, you don't have to be paid to speak to monetize a talk. And that's typically what people think, right? It's like, if I don't get paid to step on stage, this is worthless and I shouldn't do it. And I say, couldn't be farther from the truth, because again, you're getting practice. You're in front of people, for crying out loud. That's amazing. Do not ever reject an opportunity to be in front of people. And I know for me, it's like I grew up singing and being on stage. So it's just so natural for me. Like I will never say no. Volunteer, I'm first, right? I know not everybody has that tendency, but that's something you get to practice and understand. If somebody asks, if a speaker asks a question, volunteer to be one of the ones that answer. So maybe you're not the speaker. Here's the twist real quick. How many times do you actually raise your hand? Because then the people in the audience are knowing you too, and they may come talk to you after the meeting. Wow, that was so bold that you shared that. So you're kind of half speaker there. So leverage opportunities to be in front of people. But I digress. I get passionate about this. Obviously, not every audience is ideal. I would say in the beginning, leverage opportunities. If it's like a meeting during rush hour across town and it's free, then yeah, say no, right? This is really not going to work out for me. especially for me, I have little kids. This actually happened to me when I first started applying to TEDx. I got a call back to audition in person. It wasn't even that I was accepted, in a town here 3 hours away. And my babies were just a few weeks of turning two. I had to decline. And that was heart-wrenching. But it just did not make sense for me to make that trip to audition. It wasn't even like, you're booked, come speak for us, you know? So you obviously weighed that in. And that's why this is such a relative answer. I can't tell you, take all the speaking opportunities. Not if you have to spend a bunch of money yourself, right? So that's what I'm saying. Use your common sense. But there are opportunities where you don't get paid, but you're in front of the ideal audience. And you can get leads for your business. So here's the other piece of this. How do you make this something worthwhile to grow your business? You lead people into an offer. So if your offer is, I'm going to help you, I don't know, improve your relationship with your spouse, don't be talking about something completely unrelated, right? Make sure your talk is related to your expertise. Make sure the testimonials are related to your expertise, because guess what? At the end, even if you can't make a pitch from stage, because depending on the audience and the format of the event, you can't do that, people will still connect two and two and be like, well, she's helping people with their relationships. I will go talk to her. I will go find her on social media. I will buy her book, right? Because you did that job from stage. Now, if you can make an offer and say, I would love for you to schedule a complimentary call, I would love for you to access this freebie, you know, scan the QR code, please leverage that so that people can connect with you afterwards. Now, speaking is very, very powerful, but you don't want it to end there. So that's very, very important. You don't want it to just be something inspiring that people are like, wow, good for you. You're so awesome. Man, so good to meet you. And it ends there. No, I want them thinking about their lives. I want them thinking like what you were saying, Nina, dang, I guess I need to do this, right? You want them convicted. You want them feeling that, because why? That's a step closer to, I need to talk to you in private afterwards. Let's have a conversation and see if you have any suggestions for me specifically, right? Because even many times, if you're really doing a good job in your talk, they will feel like you're talking specifically to them. Like, it's almost like you were in my head. Absolutely. That was my goal. And the way that I did that is because I'm so good at my job, you know, at my expertise, and also because I'm a very skilled speaker. So that's how you grow your business, is whether you are paid to be in front of people, which is amazing, but nobody starts there. I mean, there are people that get paid 20 grand. They get flown around. And I am not at that position. I'll just be 100% honest. And for a long time, I felt like imposter syndrome to even guide women to speak more, because I'm not in a position, because I have small children, right? But I'm still very successful at my business and what I'm doing, because I will not deny opportunities to be in front of people. And I leverage that as best as possible by carrying people through to my offers afterwards.
Yeah, that's brilliant, right? Because that's one of the things I think we forget to do on stage, is to give people a next step, right? Yes. Leverage what we have. And you're right. You don't have to have a speaking or a paid opportunity, I should say, but you can ask the host if you can, you know, mention your book on stage or have a table in the back or something, right? So I love that, because you're right. I think it's that next step piece that gets us sometimes a little bit stuck, because we don't want to sell from the stage, or we feel crummy selling or all that kind of stuff, when really you're giving value. And yeah. if you look at it that way, like, I'm just going to really give them a lot of value, and they may be able to use this to move themselves forward in whatever it is you're teaching. I think we could change the game when it comes to that, right, Marta? Because we get stuck. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and here's the other thing. You've gone so far as to step in front of an audience and do a scary thing, like I was saying in the beginning, and now you're not going to leverage that. It's, to me, even worse than when you create amazing inspirational posts on social media and then you don't say, this is exactly what I help clients with.
Right.
If you're interested, like, what's the point of the post?
Right. No, it's very, very true. And I did that for a long time where I wouldn't put a call to action. It would just be a great post and people would love it and leave a bunch of comments. And I still wouldn't tell them what I was doing. And I'm like, girl, that's why you ain't making no business if you ain't telling them what you're doing. Right. And like, we have to stop that mentality and that mess, because the truth is people want to know, because you may be able to help them. We are the ones that get up in our own heads about it. People are not afraid of it. They've seen it many, many times. It's not like a new thing, you know? Oh. So yeah. So I wanted to kind of maybe wrap up with this, because we're talking about, you know, speaking on stages and leveraging our audiences and, you know, you've given us the structures and all this great stuff. But I know that there's people, because I speak to them, who are super nervous about public speaking. Like you said, it's like the second thing after, you know, beside death, which is crazy to me. But I actually have heard more than one speaker say that. It's true. So what do you think should be their top things for them to build the confidence that they need to really deliver a compelling talk and have impact and actually show up?
Yeah. Well, I would say start with what I mentioned. Do you even speak up when you're in a group? Right? Because so many people are like, I feel so much more comfortable when it's like a one-on-one interaction. And that's okay. But if you have dreams and a vision that your business is growing and you're impacting more people, then you're going to have to challenge yourself, right? You're going to have to choose to be uncomfortable. And when somebody says, does anybody have any thoughts about this? I do. And then share, right? When it's lower stakes, or there are opportunities in networking meetings at times of, does anybody have an event coming up? Raise your hand and say, yes, I'm doing a masterclass next week. It starts as simple as that, right? And then volunteering to do something shorter. Maybe there is a segment somewhere in one of your meetings where you get to speak for 2 minutes. There are meetings that do that, like a showcase or a member in the spotlight where you get to speak for 5 minutes, for 10 minutes. Start there, right? You don't have to jump into, I'm going to do this keynote, whatever, for an hour. I mean, if you want to, by all means, but some people are so terrified of that. And I think we live in a day and age with social media where you get to do this anytime. You don't have to be invited to do a member in the spotlight or for somebody to ask you a question. You can press live on your phone and go on social media and say, I have 3 tips for you today, right? And create reels and whatever, maybe go on your stories, because then it goes away in 24 hours, right? I mean, there are really no excuses. It's a matter of doing the thing that you don't want to do. And isn't that with anything in life, right? It's just another piece. We know this. Just start small, but start. That's the main thing. And I hope I've made myself clear. Whether you have notes, whether you get super nervous and you say, thanks so much for having me when you start, it doesn't matter. Just get started, because you're going to get better. And I can say this for myself. I've always been the person that goes first, the volunteers. I have no fear of going. I mean, I get nervous, but I just do it, you know? But when memories pop up on Facebook of like 8 years ago when I first started my business, I sounded like this. Hi, guys. How's it going? I sounded like a child, you know? I wasn't like in charge like I am right now, right? So, and back to how I started this whole thing, I didn't come out the womb this way. No amazing speaker, no amazing athlete, no amazing whatever came out the womb that way. What you see today is a result of them not giving up, failing, falling, putting their foot in their mouth, messing up. In fact, there's a story that I tell when I'm speaking about speaking. I say that first time I came to Disney World, I was ready to just like impress Americans. I was ready to be like the most amazing 10-year-old English speaking Brazilian Americans had ever seen. And then I messed up. Like the super simple interaction with the guy in Epcot, he asked me, how old are you? And I said, I'm fine, thanks. And then instantly, by the look on his face, I realized I hadn't understood the question correctly. And I was mortified, but I didn't stop there, you know? So that's my tip.
Man, I freaking love that, because we all have to start somewhere. And I want them to know how to start maybe with you, right? Because I know that you also teach this. You teach us how to do this right, how to do this well. So before we wrap up, I would like to know what you have for them, how they can reach out to you, how they can connect with you, all that great stuff before I let you go.
Yes, absolutely. So I am offering a series of 3 videos that are pre-recorded called Unleash Your X Factor. So I believe everybody has an X factor. You have something special to share. And I walk you through. I walk you through the outline of the talk. So I go into a little bit more detail of what I shared here, really the mindset of what am I afraid of? What is something that challenges me? And then the specifics of a talk and even how to get in front of people as a performer and really see yourself as a performer on stage. So I cover all of that and it's free. It's three different videos and you can access it on demand. And then also I'd love to offer a call. I call my calls story to stage evaluation. So we talk about your story. We talk about how to take that story to stage, whether you have been on stage or not, and how I could support you with my coaching.
Thank you so much for today, for coming on and just pouring out all this knowledge, because it really even, you know, it's helped me. I'm like, I wrote down a ton of notes and I'm going to take you up on that freebie too, girl. And I'll be probably connecting soon, but I really thank you because you know what, this is taking valuable time from your schedule just to pour into these women and teach them that they can win at this freaking thing. And they can do this for 2025. And this is a new year. It cannot look like 2024. So I am grateful for you. Thank you so freaking much. Thank you. You so cool, and the fact that you have triplets like blew my mind. Okay. I was trying to do one at a time and I didn't know if I was gonna survive. I don't know about three. Ladies, thank you so much for hanging out with me and Marta. I told you, right? Unbelievable content and information. So we are going to make sure that you have everything, all of the links to everything that she's talking about, the way for you to connect with her, because I know a lot of you are going, wait, I want to speak this year. I want to be on a TEDx stage. I want to learn how to do this right. You know what? When somebody's already been there, done that, you really need to connect with them because they know exactly what the next step might be or what the outcome might be or where you might get stuck in your own head. Okay. So make sure you connect with Marta. I love you guys so much. This is the Women Who Lead Summit. Until next time.